victories, to let defeat, whatever we're going through, have the last word, God. So in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our challenges, we thank you for the victory even in advance. We pray, oh Lord God, your continued presence in our midst. We pray that every man, woman, boy, or girl will have a real encounter with the living God. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and use me, thy instrument, to speak a word from on high to your people. Remove whatever might be in us, whatever might be on our brains. Remove it all, God, that we might hear what thus saith the Lord today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. I want to thank once again the men's choir and the musicians and all of you for leading us to this time in our worship experience. Amen. Please stand and secure your Bibles or read with me on the screen. Luke 19 verses 1 through 10. Luke 19 verses 1 through 10. And I'll be reading from this morning the NIV. Amen. Luke 19 verses 1 through 10. And it reads as follows. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk about a joyous response to the grace of God. A joyous response to the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I said this morning that when I was traveling in D.C., I was dropping someone off in Maryland. We were living in D.C. in a hotel. And on my way there, I went past what you know are these cameras on the poles that take pictures of your license plates when you're going too fast. And so I thought I was only going a few miles over the speed limit. So I, you know, carried on my way. And then I returned. And then the next day, I went that same way again. And when I got back to Connecticut, 2 weeks later, I got a mail from the D.C. government, and it was a ticket, not one ticket, four tickets, one way going, one way coming back, 2 days, all around us now, watching everything that we do. How many of you know that today? When you go to the ATM machines, there are cameras looking at you. Even in the sky, there are drones who are taking pictures of us and taking pictures of our allies and enemies in different countries. You know that if you look on Facebook, whether you want them to post stuff or not, some folks are posting pictures from church and posting where you are in the restaurant. There are pictures of us everywhere, but how many of you know that those pictures real don't tell us anything about the individual that they're taking a photograph of? The people don't know us even though they see our photograph. What am I saying this morning? God, we remain a stranger to folks who see us all over the world on the internet, but God knows you by name. Oh, there are many folk. I said this morning, my son saw somebody he had not seen in a long time. And he talked to this girl and he said, "Hey, how are you?" And I said, "Caleb, did you find out what they were doing?" And he says, "No, Daddy, I can just find out on Facebook." But she was right in front of you. This is the world we're living in, that we don't have to have a personal relationship to think that we know somebody. Even, what do they call it, befriending somebody. Just because you let somebody into your Facebook page, they're not your friend. Come on, somebody. But what I'm trying to say, and we see in this text today, that God knows you by name.
Yes, sir.
In this picture that was coming from an African-American archive from Vanderbilt Divinity School, we see Zakiya in a tree in a town, and in the text it's Jericho, and Jesus didn't just see Zakiya, he called him down by name. Isn't that good news this morning? God just doesn't know who you are and where you are. God knows you by name. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows your name. My brothers and sisters, how do you respond, Brother Larry, to the grace of God? That's what I want you to ask yourself today. God has been so graciously good to us. God sent his son to die on the cross for us. God has suffered and died. And I want to know this morning, how do you respond to a God who is so good? We find Zakiya curious about Jesus this morning. And if you back up just a few verses in chapter 18, you find that as Jesus is approaching Jericho, there's a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. It was coming close. Didn't want him to bother Jesus, but when he knew that the Savior was coming close, he cried out to God to receive himself. He's like, "Savior, have mercy on me." He was poor, he was blind, but Jesus heard his cry and healed this man, this blind Bartimaeus. And that's really a lesson for us, because Jesus is the revelation from God. And until you receive that revelation, just like blind Bartimaeus, you remain really dark in this world. It's not only encouraging that he healed a blind, poor Bartimaeus, but in the next verse, we find him doing the same thing to a rich, wealthy tax collector named Zacchaeus. Oh, I know you are not understanding why this is a moment of shout, but some folks think that Jesus is just for the down and out, but we find here that he's not just for the down and out. How many of you know he's for the up and out too? Everybody needs Jesus. And so Jesus heals the poor blind Bartimaeus, and then he finds Zacchaeus, who is first point of my message this morning, just curious about God. Oh, Zacchaeus had heard that he can heal the blind and cause the lame to walk. Zacchaeus had heard of his astuteness with the word of God. And so he passed all of the hindrances, his being a tax collector, him being short in stature, him being rich. There are many hindrances to Jesus. Zacchaeus didn't worry about what folk were saying. He ran to that sycamore tree, and he got to a place only because he was curious. Hear what I'm saying this morning. We have too many folk who come to church every Sunday, and they lack curiosity about God. There are many folk who've been coming to church for years. Somebody, for years. Turn to your other and say, "But that's too long." Without ever going to a Bible study. Come on, somebody. That's God speaking as that thing drives. Without ever going to a prayer service. Without ever going to Sunday school. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm more than curious. submission is a strong desire to learn and to know. Zacchaeus had a strong desire to know somebody who can cause the blind to see, a strong desire to know somebody who can cause the lame to walk, a strong desire to know somebody who can bring revelation to God's word. Do you have a strong desire to know God this morning? When I was 25 years old, I'd heard all of the cliches that help folks, you know, the self-help books and the Oprah Winfrey philosophy about life, you know, but none of that was helping me. And I sought to know the God who wrote this word, to know the God who breathed life into my lungs. Somebody here this morning needs to have enough curiosity like Zacchaeus to get to know God for yourself. Zacchaeus was not only curious about God that brought him into the presence of God. Zacchaeus concurred with God. Zacchaeus put himself in position for God to call him down. But even after we are curious about God and we come in contact with God, we don't concur with God. When Jesus taught Zacchaeus and told him to come down, I must stay in your house today. Zacchaeus didn't try to figure out, like some of y'all, why you got to go to my house? Come on, somebody. Why I have to do that, Jesus? Why do I have to forgive and turn the other cheek? Why do I have to love my enemy? Why do I have to tithe? Why do I have to be nice to folk who are not nice to me? Let me step on a few toes. Why I can't shack up? Come on, somebody. Why I can't get drunk every day? Why I can't smoke a blunt? Amen. What they calling in that kind? It's probably not a blunt anymore. I don't even know how I know that. God called my name one day. Amen. Zacchaeus was not only curious and learned about God, Zacchaeus concurred with God. He began to agree with God about his life. We want God's favor. We want to be blessed and highly favored. God's asking us to do. Come on, somebody. But we don't want to do anything God's asking us to do. Come on, somebody. We don't want God in our personal life. Now, can you figure that out? When Zacchaeus was called by God, by Jesus, to come into his home, God was calling him into the place where Zacchaeus was dwelling. Is God allowed into the place where you dwell? Is God allowed where other folks are not allowed to go to see what you're doing in your home? Is God allowed to see how you're treating your children? Are God allowed to see you what you're watching on TV, what you're watching on the computer? Is God allowed in places where you think is private to everybody else? God is asking you, can you concur with me? Can you bring me into those places that are just private, just you and yourself? I know what you're doing anyway. Will you invite God into that place where, I know this is not in my notes, but it's becoming so prevalent. Folk watching pornography. Come on, somebody. Justifying sleeping with folk who are not your husband and your wife. You put your own stuff in there. God is inviting us because he's been so gracious. Somebody say God has been gracious. To respond to that grace in obedience. I said this morning that when I began to get this thing about 25 years old, I didn't just hear God's call.
I just didn't say, God, I want you to be my Savior. I began to concur with God. And my wife and I, we've been married 27 years. And there's no way I even get married at 25 with a law degree, a brand new car, and women all around if I didn't start concurring with God. Y'all hear me this morning? God is saying, respond to my grace, not by just getting your praise on. Come on, somebody. Not just by saying hallelujah in church. Not just by putting on church clothes. Thank you, Deacon Myatt. God is asking you to concur, to agree with his word, and to obey him. But see, even if coming to where you dwell, allow him to see, even if you don't get it right away, and the more Jesus hang out with God, the better you will begin to live. Because you can't do anything when God is close. Come on, give God some praise. It's hot in here this morning. Amen. Zacchaeus teaches us this morning in this wealthy commercial province of Rome, where he was not only the chief, the tax collector. The Bible says he was the chief tax collector. That's the only time in this text where it calls a publican a chief tax collector. So he was wealthy, and he had been extortionist of the money. He not only taxed the folks, he took a cut of the tax, and he was doing very well in his crooked profession. We talked, Deacon Myatt taught a Bible study on Wednesday, and it's about your calling and your passion, your work and your passion. Sometimes it's a wonderful thing when they mesh, when you can get paid for your passion, but sometimes your passion won't pay the bills, and so you have to supplement your passion with a real job. But whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And Zacchaeus, after God took him in or went to his home, Zacchaeus was not only curious, Zacchaeus began to concur and agree with God. And what I really want to get you to the point where is Zacchaeus began to change. Somebody say change. In verse 7, he got through the muttering crowd who said that God had gone to the house of a sinner. Aren't you glad God visits sinners? But look at the change in Zacchaeus. Verse 8 says, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus loved money. And when God changes you, he will redefine your love. He'll change, you'll be used things of this world. And he'll cause that love for the things of this world to be used for the glory of God. You see, in the Jewish law, I think it's Leviticus number 6, if you cheated someone, you had to pay back that and only one-fifth. But Zacchaeus so joyfully received the grace of God, he didn't just go to the limit. He says, I'm going to get back four times, God. My brothers and sisters, when you really get this thing, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you will respond to God's grace. Somebody say God's grace. With great joy. That's why for whoever is having a problem giving God the tithe, whoever having the problem of serving the church, you're not responding the way you should, because everything, your strength, your health, your treasure, your mind, everything, somebody say everything, belongs to God. In verse 9, we find Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. Not just his lineage. He's a son of Abraham by faith. He put his trust in Jesus and thereby became a son of faith because Abraham was righteous not by works but by for the Son of Man. This is the whole purpose of Jesus coming unto the earth. The Son of Man, and the whole purpose of the writing of the book of Luke is to prove that Jesus is the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which is lost. My brothers and sisters, Zacchaeus asked us today to leave here responding to the grace of God joyously. The rapper Chance has a song, I Believe I Can Fly, Will End Up in Paradise. And then at the end of the song, he says, I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning. He said, that's all I need to say. I woke up this morning. My brothers and sisters, you should be excited today because only by God's grace did you wake up this morning. There's a story. Come on, Moriah. There's a story that I read not long ago of a woman whose car broke down in a dangerous part of New York. And she ran out of gas, and this homeless person came by and startled her. And this homeless on her door where she began to get out, and he said, you should not get out. This is a bad neighborhood. And this homeless person took his last $20 and went to the gas station and bought her some gas and started her back on her way, and then he just disappeared. She tried to find him, and she couldn't find him, so she went up and started a GoFundMe effort, and over $400,000 was raised, and she was able to buy this homeless person a home. Why? Because she responded to that homeless person's grace by doing this loving thing. Now, that's a good story, Reverend Holiness, but I got a better one. I was a wretch undone, living in a world of sin, with no hope and no peace within. But somebody told me about Jesus, that he'll pick you up and he'll turn you around and he'll place your feet on solid ground. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus right now. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. Somebody ought to respond to the grace of God by coming to him right now. As we stand to our feet,